I trust you are all well and doing good at this time. And while the church building may be shut down, the church of God is never shut down. We are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd like to you to turn to two portions of scripture as we share the word of God today. Firstly, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm reading from verse 18. And it says this: "For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.' But you have come to Mount Zion." Last year we said that I wanted to speak on Mount Zion. We never had the opportunity because we ran out of Sundays. But I wanted to speak on Mount Zion because we were talking about the pilgrim going through the Valley of Baca, and his destination was not the valley. His destination was God in Zion.
Amen.
And then the second portion of scripture I want you to look at is what we shared at the beginning of the year about Beatitudes and our attitude to 2020. So Matthew chapter 5, and I'm reading the first seven verses. "And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.'" Let's just pray. Father, we pray that you will bless our time today, that you'll open up the treasure house of your word and let your word flow like a river into our souls and our hearts.
Yes.
We pray, Father, for the ones that are listening from home, Lord God.
Yes.
We pray that you will touch their lives. And everyone that's listening from their place, whether it's in the country or out of the country, Lord God, we ask that you will touch our lives together.
Yes.
Those that are unwell in body, we pray for your healing touch.
Yes.
We bless you. Anoint us, Lord God, to share your word today.
Yes.
We give you honor and glory and praise. You're a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. I want you to see something today, because I want to talk to us about the Beatitudes. That Jesus went up on a mountain and he sat down, his disciples came to him and he sat down and began to teach. The greatest sermon that was ever preached. It had to do with relationship with each other, relationship with God. It had to do with prayer, with fasting, with giving, with forgiveness, with everything that life has to do with us and us to life, and how we live that life and manifest the glory of God as salt to the earth and light to the world. I want you to contrast these two mountains. The mountain in the Old Testament that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, where God came down upon that mountain and God was invisible, except that they saw the fire on the mountain, the smoke, the tempest, the trumpet, the sound, and the scene was so terrible, and the mountain was holy, the place was holy. They put guards around the mountain so that nobody can breach the guard and touch the mountain. Even if you touch the mountain, whether it's a man or a beast, that person or that animal will be shot with an arrow or stoned with stone and be killed. Moses, who was used to the presence of God, even Moses was afraid. And the Bible says that he trembled exceedingly and he was afraid.
Amen.
We come to the New Testament, we see another scene that is very, very different. The God that came down on that mountain in the Old Testament that God was unseen. The trumpet was heard, the fire was seen, the smoke was seen, everything was seen, but God. But we come to this mountain of the Beatitudes, and something very, very different is now happening. The same God that descended on the mountain in the Old Testament now no longer descended on the mountain. Now he's ascending the mountain. He's walking up on this mountain, no fanfare, just this same God in the flesh, walking up to the mountain instead of coming down. And he sat down, and the people that were afar off were afraid of this God are now gathered and sitting at his feet while he share the word of God and share the mind of the Almighty. Amen. With the people that were there at the time.
Amen.
And when he opened the scriptures, he opened what he said. He didn't open the scriptures. The scriptures had not been written then. It was still being written. But he opened his mouth, and when he began his message, he said this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The key to the whole sermon, the key to all the Beatitudes, is in that little phrase. Just like Psalm 23, the key to Psalm 23 is the first five words: "The Lord is my shepherd." The reason David was not able to be in want was because the Lord was his shepherd.
Amen.
The reason he lay down in green pastures is because the Lord was his shepherd. The reason he walked through the valley of death and never be afraid is because the Lord is his shepherd. The reason his soul was restored is because the Lord's his shepherd. The reason his head was anointed is because the Lord is his shepherd. The reason that he ate before his enemies was because the Lord was his shepherd. The key to Psalm 23 is those five words in the beginning: "The Lord is my shepherd." The key to the whole message and the Sermon on the Mountain is in these words in verse 3: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Amen.
And if you understand that, that's the key to the whole sermon and the key to life.
Yeah.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's funny because in the Beatitudes that follow, it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted." They shall be. "Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth." But here it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," because theirs is. It's not in the future, it's right now.
Yeah.
That you can have a taste of heaven even right now, even where you are. And in the midst of all this coronavirus, you can have a taste of heaven. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is," right now, today, on Sunday, in Whanganui and wherever you are listening from, the kingdom of heaven becomes yours today.
Amen.
It's not going to be, it's today.
Amen.
Now, I know that heaven is still yet to come, and that's the kingdom that we're looking for, but that part of heaven, where you are, heaven can become a portion of your life even today.
Amen.
So what is being poor in spirit mean? It doesn't mean that you are self-criticizing yourself. It doesn't mean that you grovel on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you understand what is your own need. As the song that we sang just before, trusting in his righteousness alone.
Mm-hmm.
A person who is poor in spirit does no longer trusts in themselves.
Yeah.
Even though they may be gifted, even though they may be celebrated, their giftings and their celebratory status is not what makes them who they are.
Yeah.
It's somebody that is understanding his own need and is aware of the poverty of his own spirit.
Yeah.
Solomon, when he dedicated the temple in the Old Testament, said this: when there's a famine, a pestilence, mildew, whatever happens in the land, and the people of God will pray, those who understand and know the plague of their own hearts. See, some people, we all plagued in our hearts, but there are many people who don't even admit that.
Mm-hmm.
But being poor in spirit is being somebody that understands the plague of their own heart,
mm-hmm.
somebody that is in poverty of their own spirit,
mm-hmm.
and realize that there is nothing in themselves that will help them, that they're completely reliant on the benevolence of somebody outside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely reliant on God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus tell a story, and is penned by Luke in Luke chapter 18,
mm-hmm.
about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was religious. He reads the Torah. He prays. And his prayer to God was this: God, thank you that I'm not like other men. They are extortioners. They are adulterers. They do things wrong. They sin against you. I'm not like that tax collector over there. I give, I tithe, I pray, I fast twice a week. The tax collector could not even lift his head. He knew his own poverty of heart and spirit. And he put his hand on his chest and began to beat his chest. And with shame and embarrassment, he said to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinful man."
Mm.
Jesus said, the two of them went home, but the one that was poor in spirit was justified. The one that was self-righteous, even though he did a lot of stuff, did not have the kingdom. The one that was in poverty of spirit went home justified by God.
Amen.
That's the attitude that we have,
mm-hmm.
or should have.
Sure.
We should never be so matured in the things of God that we don't rely on God daily. The reason we pray daily, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," is because we are completely reliant on the benevolence of God.
Yeah.
We are completely reliant on God day by day, whether you have stuff or not have stuff, whether you're celebrated or not. When we come to God, all of us have nothing to bring to God.
Mm.
No one has anything except that which is given to him.
Amen.
When we look at the life of Cornelius, he was a wealthy man. He was a man with position. He was a man with status. He was a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the people will come to him and beg of him, and he will give them what they ask.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when Cornelius goes to God, he doesn't say to God, "I am the ruler here. I have plenty of stuff, and I give to your people. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm not a Jewish person, but how come these Jews come begging to me?" He doesn't say that.
Mm.
Even though he was well off, Cornelius, when he went to God, will pray prayers in the same spirit that the beggar come to his door in. So as they beg him to give stuff, Cornelius, when he goes to God, and this is an amazing thing, he didn't go to a God of the Romans. He went to the God of the beggars that came to beg at his door. And he asked this God to have mercy on him, that when the angel came to see him, the angel said, "Cornelius, your prayers and your giving has come before God as a memorial in heaven."
Mm.
How amazing is that? Here is a man with status who has so much, and yet he recognizes his own poverty of spirit when he comes to the Savior of the planet. And he comes to God as a beggar, a man who understands his own heart and know the poverty of his own spirit and his need of the God of Israel.
Amen.
Cornelius had the amazing place of being the first Gentile to come into the church, filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. He and his household got saved when Peter came and preached the gospel to him and to his household. How wonderful it is for a man to be poor in spirit, who does not rely on his own strength. The greatest man, the wisest man that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, said this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding." If anyone needed to trust in himself, it was Solomon. So it's amazing that this wisest of all men said, don't trust in your understanding and don't lean on your understanding. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in the government. Don't trust in your own resources. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding. That is being poor in spirit. Somebody who no longer has faith in themselves, his total trust is in God. Mm-hmm. Where we are today is an amazing day. It's an amazing day because we've never come this way before.
Yeah.
It's an amazing day that we can meet online, we can meet through technology and have a service, have worship, and hear the word of God from the pastor and the shepherds around the nation who are preaching the word of God. We've never come this way before.
That's right.
But it's a great day.
Yeah.
It's a great day because God is still alive. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
As we said last week, God is on the throne and he is staying on the throne of the universe and everything in heaven. There are no emergencies in heaven. And Jesus said, when you pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3 is an amazing piece of scripture. And if you turn there with me, that will be great. Paul is writing to this church in Philippi and talking about certain matters. And then he said this in chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilations, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, giving thanks to the Father. Sorry, I missed the page. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul is arguably the greatest apostle to the Gentiles that ever lived.
Yeah.
Paul, in 65 years of ministry, did more for the church and the cause of the church of Jesus Christ than the church has done in 2,000 years.
Mm.
God took this terrorist and made him an apostle, that he wrote more than half the New Testament. At least that's what I think.
Mm.
In Samoa, every Samoan kid is told by their pastor that Paul wrote Hebrews. When I came to New Zealand, the Bible teachers tell me it may not have been Paul, except that I believe the pastors that I heard from. On the other hand, there are many in many portions of the scriptures in the book of Hebrews that indicate a Pauline authorship. So if Paul wrote the Hebrews, then Paul wrote more than half the books of the New Testament.
Mm.
This greatest of apostles, whose power and anointing was so amazing that when he cast out devils, he doesn't speak to them, he sent them a handkerchief. This man that was stoned and got up and keep on preaching, this man that was shipwrecked, was bitten by snakes, locked in jails, and wrote a New Testament from jail. This great, great man. And here he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, who love Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh.
Mm.
That's being poor of spirit.
Yeah.
Then Paul said, if anyone thinks he has grounds to be confident in what they've done, he said, I more so have those grounds.
Mm.
He said, I was a Jew of the Jew, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. When it comes to the law, I'm a Pharisee. When it comes to zeal, I persecuted the church. When it comes to the righteousness that is by law, Paul said, I'm perfect.
Mm.
I've got no equal. I'm perfect.
Mm.
But then he said something, all these things I count as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Here is the greatest apostle that we know. And all that he knew and all that he did. And yet he says, I've got no confidence in that. All that is dung compared to the excellency of the power and the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. And Paul said this. He said, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Then he said something. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. All the apostles that walked with Jesus, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, they start, you know, they walk with Jesus, they come to the cross, and then they get into the resurrection. Paul started from the resurrection. And he started there and went back to the cross. And this is what he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Why did he say that? Because people that are poor in spirit always embrace the cross.
Amen.
And Paul said, if I am going to boast, it's not the resurrection anointing. It's not the power to cast out devils. It's not the power to resist temptation. When, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast of the cross wherewith the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Where we are today, in the dilemma that we find ourselves in, locked in our homes, restricted from movements. Sometimes it's good to be restricted, to allow us the understanding that sometimes we take our freedom for granted. It's great to get up on Sunday morning and go to church, but this morning there's no building, there's no church building open. And some of us are realizing how precious a thing it is to gather together as the fellowship and the family of God. We miss that. And I trust that in our heart of hearts, we realize the preciousness of that. Coronavirus has now taught us that, taught us what Jesus teaches us, and we don't even often obey. I wrote a post yesterday to the network of pastors that Fear and I lead, and I said the coronavirus has done something that most preachers have not been able to do. Wake up the church. The church needs to come to a place of poverty of spirit where they have to seek the face of the Lord.
That's right.
Even as the wise man said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. The healing of this land called Aotearoa is not in the hand of the prime minister or the cabinet. The healing of Aotearoa is in our hands, but we ought to come to God with poverty of spirit, realizing that there is nothing we can do. I was reading a piece from a doctor and scientist in Italy. Whether the piece was written by him or somebody's thoughts does not matter here. The fact of the matter is I read it, and this is what he said. When coronavirus started, I didn't believe in God. I was an atheist. I trusted in my own scientific knowledge. But now I realize that the scientists have no answer. Mm. The only answer is God. And while we are here as a people being locked down, don't let your faith be locked down.
Yeah.
While we are isolated, don't segregate yourself. Mm. We are isolated, not segregated. Mm. While you are being isolated, don't isolate your faith. This is the time when faith arises.
Yeah.
And faith comes when you and I, in poverty of spirit, seek the only one who is the author and finisher of our faith, because there is nothing in us that will answer the dilemma of the present time.
That's right.
We can only trust in Him, who alone is our Savior, who alone gives us life.
Yeah.
I often think of people that have their plans, and there's nothing wrong with doing plans.
Mm.
But they have all their plans mapped out, like we did at the beginning of the year.
Mm.
I think every church had their plan, their vision and things, and we're casting their vision, all these things. And then all of a sudden, those plans are no longer there.
Mm.
We had to change our plans.
Yeah.
The airlines that were flying no longer fly. Border control is now put up, and we are restricted from country to country and from city to city, from home to home.
Mm.
Those plans were there, but they are no longer there. Because sometimes we need to realize that even with all our plans, we can't even guarantee to breathe. Our breath comes from God.
Yeah.
And we wait on Him.
Yeah.
It is His mercy and His grace that allows us everything that we have. We are blessed, yes, but it's not because of us. Everything that we have comes from Him.
Okay.
And when we come to Him, in poverty of spirit, realizing that there is nothing in ourselves, in our friends or in our families, that will guarantee anything, guarantee tomorrow for us, then we realize that all we have is Him, that we might be found in Him and in His righteousness alone, being conformed to His death, understanding that everything flows from Him in whom we have to do. So let us at this moment, even with everything that's going on, trust Him, because He hasn't moved. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the healer. He is still the deliverer. He is still the Savior. He is still the Redeemer. He is still God in His heaven. And everything is fine. Trust Him. It's better to trust in God than to trust in all the accolades of men. God alone is able to do for us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. People that are poor in spirit are always praying. Why? Because they can't help themselves. And people who are poor in spirit rely on God day by day, hour by hour. The reason they pray so much is because they haven't got anything. The reason we ought to pray is because we haven't got anything. People who don't pray many times are proud, arrogant, and they think that they don't need God. We all need the Lord. We need His saving grace. We need His love. Next week, when we share together next week, I'm going to share on the violence of those that beg. The Bible says the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. How can a man that is poor in spirit be violent? And what is that kind of violence? What is it? We will look forward to sharing that next week. How the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take the kingdom by force. That is something to look forward to. And we pray that God will bless our lives and bring our lives to a Sunday of next week when we can meet again together. Right now, however, I want us to pray. I want us to pray for two things. First of all, if you're watching the telecast, if you're watching this live stream, and you know that you are not where God wants you to be, you're not where you ought to be. Maybe you used to walk with God, but you no longer walk with God. Maybe you left God somewhere at the side of the road and carry on doing your own thing. Then I want to pray that God will draw your heart again to Him. Maybe you're listening to this live stream and you don't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to pray a prayer that will bring you to know Him. After that, I'm going to pray for us as a church, that God will minister to us, that God will give us humility to always be reliant on the Lord.
Amen.
So let's pray. Let's ask God to touch our lives and bless our hearts. And if you're far away from God, or maybe you're not in the place that you know you should be, then pray this prayer with me. It'll help you draw nigh unto God and help you to come back to know the saving grace of the Lord. So pray with me. Father, I thank you that you are my Father. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know and I'm not at the right place with you, and I come to you today. Dear Jesus, I ask you that you will come into my heart, that I will know the poverty of my own spirit and know my need of you. So come into my heart, touch my life, be Lord, be Savior, be King of my life, wash me of my sin, cleanse me with your blood. Today, I give you my life. Help me to walk in victory. Give me the grace and the power of your Spirit that I may live to glorify your name the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Now let me pray for us as a church, as those that make a Faith City Church their home. And if you are from overseas or watching from another part of the country and Faith City Church is not your spiritual home, that's fine. We all belong to the family of God.
Yes.
So let me pray for us as we close this service. Father, I pray for everyone that is watching. I pray, dear God, that our lives will be touched again today by the hand of the Almighty.
Lord,
I pray, dear God, that you will teach us your ways, that we might walk in your paths, that we might bring glory to you. Father, we pray for your strength. We pray for an impartation, Lord God, of your grace and faith into the lives and the hearts of your people. That, Lord, that we will stand united, that we will stand trusting in you, knowing that you are our God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless you and honor you today.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're a wonderful God. You're a mighty Savior.
People.
You're a good God to us.
Covering,
Father, bring healing. Recovery, Lord God, to those who are not well.
Lord.
We pray for our elderly,
yes,
Lord God, that you will touch their lives, Lord God, reassure their hearts, Lord God, charge their hopes in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you today. You're a great God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So don't forget that the coming week, I've called our movement to a prayer and fasting as a being shared with the notices, and we fast and pray from tomorrow until Sunday of next week. So pray during the time that you're supposed to be eating. Pray in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening, and ask God to touch our lives, touch our nation. Let's pray the our national anthem, because God is meant to be the Lord of New Zealand, regardless of what other people say. Let's pray as a people. Let's trust God to intervene in our situation. And let us do it together. So pray from your home. On Wednesday, we'll pray together in the evening at 7. And we'll break fast next Sunday. If you are unwell and can't fast, that's quite all right. If you are one of the senior saints and you're not obligated to fast, but just keep us in prayer and pray with us. Okay? God bless you. Have a great day. Go and have a cup of tea.